All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome to the fray, sports mappers. We're happy to have you on a Monday. It is The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. Barry coming to us from the Rose City of Portland, Oregon. Nick and I in studio. All three of us will be reunited, and it'll feel so good tomorrow here in H-Town. But until then, we've been kicking it around for the last 2 hours. If you missed any of the show, as we always tell you to do, why don't you go to ESPN975.com, where you can click on the show title and catch up on the podcasts of the hours that you missed. And, of course, we always encourage you to download the app at the same ESPN975 website. And make sure you take us anywhere, everywhere by having the app on your phone or your device, wherever you may go. So before the break, Barry, we were talking about college football, and we were talking about Purdue upsetting Ohio State. And you said the last time the Boilermakers had a big win, it happened to be against Ohio State in 1984. Do you know who the quarterback of the Boilermakers was during the year 1984?
Drew Brees.
Incorrect. But you would have answered the question, who's the most famous Boilermaker quarterback of all time, in Drew Brees. But now, I will give you one hint, and I think you'll get it if I give you this hint.
Okay.
He is every clone's favorite quarterback.
Jim Everett.
That is correct. Jim
Nice.
Everett, who was a Boilermaker from 1981 to 1985, quarterback to the upset of Ohio State in 1984 before turning the tables and then flipping them on Jim Rome on TV, where he was a Rams quarterback.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And I think, and our next caller may be able to help us with this, but you mentioned the most famous Boilermaker quarterback of all time. That happens to be Drew Brees, and the guy on hold, of course, is a huge fan of his. But I want to say that Jim Everett not only played for the Rams, but he, too, played for the New Orleans Saints at one point. So we'll find the hopefully find the answer to that question out by bringing in one of the usuals. Suspect Clarence is on hold. Clarence, what's up, man?
What up? You are correct. In the early 90s, Jim Everett.
There you go.
That's good, but, yeah. You know.
You mean Chris? Chris Everett? Clarence?
This started great.
Clarence?
Sorry, I almost got it. Carl, I had to be silent because I almost cursed because the car almost sideswiped me.
Well, at least you pulled over to call the show. That's safe. Go ahead.
I know I have a headphone in. But, yes, and Drew Brees is the most famous Boilermaker quarterback. I know he was happy about it. He was also happy about that Jesus win on that field goal
I was hoping you went to church yesterday and you wouldn't call today, because that was the luckiest thing I've ever seen in my life. Tucker had missed an extra point at Texas or in his pro career. He's never missed an extra point, and he missed one so you could win. Talk about lucking out on a victory, man.
And, you know, some people will call it luck, and I would too, but the Saints still had 24 seconds and two timeouts to go and at least try a field goal.
Stop it.
They could have think about man, it is, please. The way that game played out and the way the weather conditions were, which is why Sean Payton went for it on fourth down so much. They already said it was windy, that the weather was real windy, and they didn't want to kick any long field goals. And since they moved the extra point back for a 33-yarder, it's not really a chip shot anymore, especially this year when kickers are missing it left and right. But it was a good game. It was a great game, actually. Our defense actually held up, which I was really worried about considering that Baltimore has a lot of weapons with him. But our defense held up. They did what they needed to do and gave the offense a chance. Now, it wasn't a great running game. It was all on Drew Brees, and he had nice, long, sustained drives that wore down their defense. Number one ranked defense.
Clarence.
I don't know about that anymore.
Clarence, you know, with the internet, you can call New Orleans radio stations, and you can get into a full-out Saints review.
No, because he's
play-by-play breakdown.
Our New Orleanians out here. Our Saints fans surrounded by nothing but half Texans, half Cowboys, sometimes Astros, barely Rocket fans out here to represent. Had to keep it alive out here.
Hey, Clarence, I'm not a math major, but once you go half Texans and half Cowboys, there's no more percentages to give to other teams. I'm just letting you know. 50 and 50 make 100%. I'm just kind of doing some math for you.
You want to include those into that, you know?
Well, that's, come on. Then you're giving 150%. It's just not possible. 100% is as high as we go. And if you want to go down the street and get like Buku or someone to sponsor the Saints update, then we'll entertain it. I'll just let you know.
I need to go to Buku, by the way, if y'all want to get. Yeah, I hear it's good. I hear the daiquiris are good, and I hear the food's great.
Yep, and we have a remote coming up, I think, from there. So listen closely, and maybe you can stop in when we're there.
All right, no problem, guys. Yo, guys, have a great day. Barry, you keep going in that little closet that you're in, apparently, because it sounds like you're really trapped in a closet, R. Kelly.
Oh, wow.
Appreciate it, Clarence. Thank you. Yeah, surprisingly, I didn't see that coming. I didn't think that the Saints would beat the Ravens. I feel like the Ravens are playing complete football right now, really complimentary football. But you certainly don't expect them to lose the way they lost with Justin Tucker missing an extra point. What was it? What was the exact number? 280-something?
Yeah.
In a row?
222. Thanks to Tyler.
Yeah, and then there's some voodoo going on apparently in New Orleans that got him to miss and cost him the game.
You know, I'm going to say this, and
good
I know
win
you
for the Saints.
I don't know if you saw this or not, because again, obviously, you're doing other things and got stuff going on. But here's the thing that I will say that was a positive about the whole situation. Kudos to Justin Tucker, who sucked it up and went right to the press conference, grabbed the microphone, said, "It's on me. Hopefully me and my teammates can go forward and learn something from this, but I did this," and all this other stuff. I'm like, he didn't have to do that. He could have ducked and ran away and hid and, you know, been the Jalen Ramsey type to say one and two word answers. He sucked it up and took it. And I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah, I'm with you. That was because they don't usually, you know, kicker. You never see kickers in post game press conferences, but he realized that was a big one. I mean, this is a team that a lot of people looked at in the Ravens and thought, man, they're complete best defense in football, most likely. Offense is putting it together. You know, Flacco's been playing well. Alex Collins has been running the ball pretty well. So it's a good win for the Saints. They're 5-1 now, and they're making some hay. Yeah. I did hear an interesting discussion. I wanted your thoughts on it. I heard an interesting discussion on, I was watching something late night last night, NFL Network, I think. Porn. It was Dion and Shannon Sharp and some blonde chick, and I wish I remembered her name. She wasn't bad on the show, but they were discussing MVP, and she asked basically, who was your MVP right now at this point in the season? Is it hands down Patrick Mahomes? And Shannon Sharp said, yeah, it's Patrick Mahomes, but it's also Todd Gurley. At which point Deion Sanders jumped in and said, man, please, it's Drew Brees. I think that's probably your accurate top three, but what order would you have them in?
I'm going to tell you this right now, and I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody else, but even going into last night's game, I still had some reservations on the sustainability and the longevity of the Chiefs and the offense and Mahomes as you start getting into tougher competition and bigger games. This has all the feelings to me of Carson Wentz a year ago. Unless he gets hurt, I just think that number one has got to be Patrick Mahomes. At his age, to be doing what he's doing, to be doing it for a team that no one gave credence to being as a potential Super Bowl candidate in the AFC, I think he's won. I think that because the Rams are undefeated, and obviously we don't know if they're going to finish the season that way, if they keep rolling, I think I would put Gurley 2 and I'd put Brees 3.
See, I'm a little bit different, and the reason I'm not giving Gurley as much credit, and maybe I'm wrong for this, but the Rams are undefeated, and I get it, KC and New Orleans both have a loss. With the Rams being undefeated, the Rams have so many they have weapons all over the place, and on defense they have an amazing defense that keeps them in ball games and helps them win games. Both Kansas City and New Orleans are going to have to outscore you because their defenses are not that great. Now, I realize New Orleans has been playing pretty well against the run, and they've been a lot better this year, but they're still a team that they're only a plus 41. And you might say, well, that's actually pretty good. And it is. Don't get me wrong. The Chiefs are a plus 78. The Rams are a plus 107 because they're just not letting anybody score, and they're putting up ridiculous points on offense with Goff and Gurley. So for me, because he's got so many other weapons around him, I think I would have Gurley third. I think I would go Mahomes, Breeze, Gurley.
Wow. Okay. So we just flip-flop two and three. Carissa Thompson is who you're thinking about, right? That was with Neon and Shannon?
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, she dabbles a little bit on the Sunday studio show, too.
Does she?
Yeah. She hosts and holds it down while when everybody goes for updates during the games.
So the argument that Shannon Sharpe was making last night was Deion was saying that Drew Brees has a QBR rating of 121.6, and that's great. But man, when you look at 22 touchdowns to 13, it's not even close.
It's not even a competition. It's not even a competition. This is like talking to Skip. If I'm going to talk to Skip, I'm going to talk to myself.
Yeah. I mean, look, Ryan Fitzpatrick has two less touchdowns than Drew Brees right now.
I mean, look, kudos for the career because he got over to he got 500 touchdowns 500, yesterday.
Yeah.
So he's in a rare air again with only three other guys in that list. He continues to climb the charts, but it's not a career achievement award. It's for one season. And right now, when you look at what Mahomes has done at his age and the records that he's breaking, I think obviously he's head and shoulders above everybody else.
I don't know if you heard this, but most touchdowns through the first eight games of a career broke Kurt Warner's record.
It's like 22 or 24. It's crazy.
So, yeah.
Wow. All right, I want to get your thoughts on some baseball before we get out here, too, because we got a World Series matchup set, but we also had some heartbreak in Beer Town and some other things that happened along the way. And, oh, by the way, because, again, you're on the road, I don't know if you know this or not, but Jose Altuve had surgery on Friday. So there's one of the injuries we've been talking about, and hopefully we won't be talking about again next season. We can fill the peeps in on that.
Broken heart?
No. No, that's Valentine's Day, Barry. Okay, so we'll be back with more. It's the usual suspects. It's SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the final hour of the show as we continue to roll on. Barry's in Portland, Oregon. He'll come back tomorrow and join us in studio. Nick and I are here. Nick getting all kinds of hindrance and not help from Trey as Juggalo Trey continues to hover behind Nicholas in the production studio. So
I mean, he's letting us know about breaking news that he sees on Twitter, and he's helping out.
Is he?
Yeah. He wasn't going to help us too much with the technical difficulties that we were dealing with in the first hour, but he's helping out.
Okay. I've seen him do nothing but just kind of like saunter through the hallways and then return to your area to just sit and talk to you.
He was supposed to give me like free thing of ice cream, and he hasn't done that yet.
And I just warned you that it was in there.
I wouldn't describe the way Trey walks as sauntering, but okay.
What would you describe it as, Barry?
Lumbering.
Laboring might be better.
Oh, well, okay.
But no, that means he's working at it. He ain't working at it. He's just doing it.
Okay.
So I teased this before, but for those of you, because of course we didn't have a show this weekend, news broke Friday. Altuve goes under the knife, has surgery to replace a fractured kneecap. I was talking to Lisa about this going, what do they use, like plaster of Paris and they cement it? I mean, how exactly does one repair a fractured kneecap? I guess the good news is it wasn't anything with an ACL, MCL type thing. And they did get to it as soon as the season was over. Obviously wasted no time at all. Hopefully this will put to bed all the knee issues that had completely bothered him through the last half of the season, then, of course, into the playoffs.
Dude, it just hearing fractured kneecap sounds so painful. And I don't know, have you seen where did they pinpoint when it happened? Because I don't recall.
You know, now remember, he sat out a couple weeks when they knew that it was going to cost him getting to 200 hits and cost him probably any chance at winning the batting title. Came back, and then he was okay for like a week or 2 weeks, and then he started to kind of slowly slow down and labor with it again, and then it really got bad in the playoffs. So I think he re-injured it at some point in the playoffs. I don't know if they ever did pinpoint it, but it did obviously sound like a pretty serious deal, because if in reading Brian McTaggart's article for MLB.com, it says Altuve's surgery was to repair a patella kneecap avulsion fracture in his right knee. According to the Mayo Clinic website, an avulsion fracture occurs when, ready for this, a small chunk of bone attached to a tendon or ligament gets pulled away from the main part of the bone.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't sound comfortable or painless in any way, shape, or form.
I don't have a lot of rules in my life, okay? I'm pretty much a go-with-the-flow kind of guy. One of the rules I have, though, is I don't want my tendons pulling my bone away from my bone. That's kind of just an unwritten rule in my life that I live by. I'd like my bones to be intact. That sounds so painful.
I'm just going to say, is that so much to ask? You just kind of want your bones to be intact. That would help in the day-to-day process. It's not a lot to ask when you think about it, but
I'm with you.
It answers one of the questions that we had of many going into the offseason for the Astros, and that obviously now pertains to the back of one Carlos Correa, the thumb of one George Springer. You don't know if he needs surgery like Correa had in the past when he had a similar injury, or if that's just going to heal on its own. The back issue for Correa, you don't want to be lingering, but as we discussed on the show, you don't want surgery either because they haven't perfected that yet, and that could really significantly have an impact on his future. So you've got those things. And then while you were out, Barry, there is this whole conspiracy theory going on with Lance McCullers and the need for Tommy John surgery. You and I had gotten a tweet somewhere around Thursday, Friday, before the news really started to percolate around here. And then Friday, McCullers' wife started this kind of sobby, mushy, we love you, Houston, and we look forward to our paths crossing again tweet with a picture of her and the jean jacket that all the ladies had done with their players' names on the back and all this other stuff. And the last hashtag was 18 months and counting, to which everybody formulated into that's about the time it takes to come back from Tommy John. So that nothing has been publicly said about that since, but there's a lot of conspiracy theorists and obviously some people that started the actual first rumor, which I believe were some people in the Mets, associated with the Mets, that kind of jumped on it. But we don't know if there's any truth to McCullers needing any kind of surgery or not. But it, you know, it's going to be interesting because you got that going. You've got the free agency.
Is it
going to
surprise you? I mean, is it going to surprise you if he needs surgery, though?
Not
in the
least.
He's a guy that has been unable to stay healthy.
Yeah.
The
only thing that I would say is, and if you saw any of the last couple games, and I saw it, I even looked into the bullpen when I was at the game at home. The weird thing to me was he was out there with the weighted yellow pitchers use it to warm up ball, and he was throwing it and playing catch with it. And I thought back to that going, well, if you had a serious issue with your throwing arm, would you be throwing it all, let alone throwing the weighted ball in the bullpen?
No.
And he made several appearances in the series. So I don't know what we're missing here. I hope it's not true. But at the same time, I hope he gets right whatever he has to do, because this is, like you said, this is a lingering thing. He's had several issues with his arm. And for a staff that had no replacements needed in their rotation for three quarters of the year, and he blamed it on taking a swing at Dodger Stadium that set off forearm issues, it seems like it's a lot more extensive than something that he did tweaking it by swinging a bat.
Yeah, not good. Speaking of the Dodgers, have they named their starters for the first two games? Because I'm still seeing undecided.
I was going to say, at the start of the show, it was still undetermined, although I did see video, I believe, on MLB Network that last night at Fenway, when the Dodgers got into Boston, Kershaw made his way over to Fenway Park and was kind of doing some throwing and some things that led people to believe that he would probably be Dave Roberts' choice for game one, Kershaw versus Sale, which would be a nice way to start the World Series if you're looking for good matchups.
I'm guessing Ryu would go second?
Probably, yeah. And, you know, he did crap the bed against the Brewers in game six, but other than that, he's been very, very good for them. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that we will figure out is we're not going to have any more Milwaukee Brewers pitching craziness that we had in the League Championship Series. We got two teams that have some pitching.
I think these teams are really evenly matched, to be honest with you. Pitching-wise, bullpen-wise, their ability to hit the long ball, score runs. I think the big difference in the teams is fielding. I mean, the Dodgers are not a good defensive team. Other than that, they're so close in so many different categories that it's going to be nothing's going to surprise me because so much stuff has happened. I thought the Astros would win, but I could see this going seven and every game being really good because they're so similar.
I hope so, because otherwise I don't really give a rat's ass. But the thing is the no-fly zone that could be the X factor is the Red Sox outfield. Because like you said, if you watch the game, any of the Brewers and the Dodgers series, Puig is just a freaking nightmare in right field, although he's got a cannon. And you need a utility guy like Taylor to make a diving catch in the alley on one play. But overall, Bellinger's not a center fielder, and they're just makeshifting to keep bats in the lineup. Whereas the Red Sox, from corner to corner and foul pole to foul pole, are as good as it gets in baseball.
Yeah. Who are you taking? I mean, do you have an opinion yet?
I haven't formulated who I think is going to win it all, but I'm with you in the fact that it's pretty evenly matched. And I think the other thing you got to factor into is the designated hitter and how that affects JD Martinez. Do they try and find a spot for him in the field when they're in LA, or do they just sit a guy that's up for?
Oh, yeah, you're not sitting JD Martinez.
So where do you play him? First base?
No way.
Or do you put him in the outfield and screw up that defense? Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Probably have to play him in left field. Maybe, I don't know, because then you got to sit Benintendi, right?
Yeah, and you don't want to really do that either. So interesting.
I think I'll take Sox in seven, though.
Okay.
Give me the Sox in seven.
Barry's in for Sox in seven. I'll contemplate it a little further, because if my brother-in-law is listening and my wife and I don't pick the Dodgers, I'll be in trouble anyway. So.
Well, that's the way to pick with your head.
Yeah, it depends on which one. And before we get off of baseball, Angels named Brad Ausmus the new manager to replace Mike Socha. And the Reds have hired former infielder David Bell as their skipper after Joe Girardi pulled his name out of contention late last week. So a little Major League Baseball news as we go to break. And we'll continue to roll. We got 30 minutes to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you heard the man. Welcome back to the Usual Suspects, ESPN. We got 30 minutes on the clock or so, give or take, and we're happy you're along for the ride. Before we get to any more of the show, I do want to tell you about my good people at Infuse Energy. Josh Pestikoff and his staff do a fantastic job. Whether you need energy for business or for your family, they make sure and listen first and then give you what they can get you in terms of the best contract at the best rates possible to make sure that you're taken care of, and they're going to be honest 100% of the time. Even if that means something sometimes they may lose their your business to cheaper competition. That's the way it goes, as long as they stay true to their belief that if they're honest to you and treat you like a trusted friend, you will do the same and come back to them again and again. It's just great, great customer service from the time you pick up the phone and call 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732. You don't get an automated system that can be so frustrating where as you're screaming trying to get the right commands so that you can get to the right area. You get a human being, and that person's going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and how they can be the most helpful in setting up a plan and a rate that's specifically done for you. If you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit right off the top, and you go from there. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips and affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that always has your back. Check out InfuseEnergy.com or give them a call, 844-INFUSE2, infuse energy into your life. With that said, Barry, we have some text messages. OU Mike has said, and I probably shouldn't have told you that it was OU Mike, but he said, safe travels, a-hole. So that was real nice.
Are you sure he wasn't talking to you? Are you going somewhere?
No. Well, it says safe travels home, actually. So.
Oh, yeah, that would be me.
That would probably be you. Mm. Yeah. Welcome back, Barry. Are you and Joel going to the Trump rally tonight after the show? I know you were trying to get back in time, but I'm not going to be able to make it, so.
Yeah, unfortunately, no. I'm not gonna. I did see that there was a line already.
Oh my God, Barry, a line! Like, I'm trying to remember what it could be even compared to. They started yesterday, Sunday morning at like 7 a.m. outside Toyota Center, and it wraps around the block. And they had to use those bike rack fences so that it can wind kind of like a maze. But it is ridiculous the amount of people that are lined up for this rally tonight, all in supporting he's in town to support Ted Cruz.
No surprise. I'm not even going to comment on the
don't go political, because you know you can't win.
Oh, I don't care. The problem that I have with it is, didn't he trash Ted Cruz
yeah.
when they were facing
yeah.
each other
yeah.
and said that he wasn't worthy,
sure
that he
did.
Was a terrible person, and he made fun of his wife, and he's just going on and on about how bad Ted Cruz is, and he's not a real Republican, and now all of a sudden he supports Ted Cruz. Yeah, that's why I don't like Trump. It has nothing to do with anything else. That's first and foremost on my list. Actually, that's why I don't like politicians. I shouldn't just say Trump. All politicians do that kind of stuff.
I just wanted to hear you do Trump impersonation one more time. But yeah, I can see him saying something shifty like, you know, the reason why I can support Ted because we went at it and he held his own, and that's why I think he's perfect for whatever.
The only thing that would save it for me is if he did the rally and he's like, you know, I support Ted. He's amazing. He's really great. He's fan. His wife is still ugly. But other than that, like, that would make it really cool, because then at least he would hold to one thing that he said.
He gets when shots he in Ted. and support
yeah,
him at
just
the same
one.
Time.
Like, I still don't think his wife is hot, but other than that, that would be cool. I would dig that.
I would get a chuckle out of that. And there's this text, Barry, by the way. Let me get this out of the way real quick.
Okay.
A text says, man, Clarence, 28 seconds, two timeouts to drive and win the game. That's like you waiting for a $100 tip while playing your banjo on Bourbon Street. Ain't happening. So there's that.
Nice.
Clarence takes a beating on this show. He just really does.
He does. Our listeners are so mean.
They're harsh sometimes.
Why are you guys so mean?
They can be.
Yeah, they don't know when to not be mean. No, I'll just say that.
That is true.
Jay on Twitter, Jeremy Morgan, said, I saw an article that said they're going to play Mookie Betts at second base so that Martinez can play the outfield.
I think that's absolutely idiotic.
So apparently he played. I looked it up because I was like, when the hell is the last time Mookie Betts played second base? Well, to answer your question, he played in one game this year at second base. Before that, in 2014, he started or played in 14 games at second base. So he has done it, but not a lot. Not a lot at all. And I don't even know what game he played this year at second base. So that's it's interesting to say the least. But you know what? I'm doing whatever in the hell I got to do to get J.D. Martinez's bat in that lineup. No
I understand
way am I
you want
that
it
bat.
In a lineup, but there's other ways to do it without screwing up, taking out the best right fielder in baseball from his primary position. I mean, you could put him at first base. We all know that they've had issues. Pierce has been pretty decent, and obviously everybody is really having a field day with his elongated stretches. And Mitch Moreland has the hamstring issue. The fact of the matter is, if for a couple games he's got to sit and just field grounders, you know, I mean, low throws and catch balls at first base, and you got his bat in the lineup, that'll do just fine. But and you maybe take him out in left field. But I don't think you take Mookie Betts out of the position where he can do a lot of good for you offensively and defensively. And let's be honest, if you move him to second base, he might start having a whole bunch of mental issues trying to break down, making sure he doesn't screw up at a new position. And that may weigh in on how he hits. I just don't touch Mookie Betts. I just don't.
So I was looking. J.D. Martinez he played 32 games in left field this year.
That's where I put
25 games in right field. Yeah, 25 games in right field. 93 as DH. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a difficult question though. If you're Boston, I mean, you've got to figure out. Somebody's got to sit when you go to.
But
LA,
are you with
so.
Me? If I move him anywhere, I'm going to put him in left field, and that's it. Or first base, one or the other. Those are the only two options I think that where I would consider it.
I don't know, because at first base, do you trust him? Do you trust him enough to be able to handle that position? It's not easy to play first. You don't just throw people in
no,
first
I
base.
No, I get it. But these days,
you know
the first baseman
games he's
clubs
at
are
first base.
No, I'm just saying
zero ever. But, he's never played first base.
Then he's going to left field, because in this day and age, when you look at the size of some of these first baseman clubs are the size of hot air balloons. All you got to do is get that bad boy near the ground, and you got a better than 50-50 chance. But you're right. I mean, if he hasn't played there ever before, then I put him in left field.
Well, here's why the move to second base makes the most sense, okay?
For Betts.
Ian Kinsler, yeah, for Betts. Ian Kinsler isn't a guy that you look to and think, oh, well, we can't miss his bat in the lineup. Or that outfield, everybody has to. You're not sitting Jackie Bradley Jr. You know, I mean, when you look at the year that Benintendi had, you don't want to sit that. I think you have to sit a guy like Ian Kinsler. So maybe, and because Betts has at least played 14 games at second base, it's not foreign to him. He's been there before. He stood at that part of the diamond, and someone's hit a ground ball at him in live game action. You got to roll with that. I think that's, you need those four bats in the lineup. There's no way that you, if you can figure it out, that you don't have Benintendi, Jackie Bradley Jr., Betts, and J.D. Martinez in that lineup. And I don't care. Anyone on that infield, I think you could sit as opposed to that outfield.
Okay. I mean, has Benintendi ever played first base?
I'd have to look it up. That's a good question.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's, before we get to break, Q, it says the real Q, of course, because, of course, he was offended by the imposter. The real Q wants to talk NFL trade. Q, what's up?
First of all, this is the real Q. It's not Q Dini or any other stupid play on the Q name. He's an embarrassment to all the Qs around the world. Him to keep doing that.
Great. Now he's going to call.
Anyways, no, I want to talk about this NFL trade deadline. I'm trying to figure out, why is it like the least anticipated deadline out of all the major sports? You know, nobody really looks forward to it, like the NBA blockbuster trades and MLB trade deadline, even though there's like two of them.
You answered your own question, because there's rarely a blockbuster deal in football. Most of the guys are on rosters or staying there, and they use training camp leading into the season, and the moves are made when transactions occur on cutdown day. But it's rare that you see any big names go before the trading deadline in the NFL that I can remember. Barry, do you?
Yeah, there's not a lot. It's one of those things where you're trying to recoup something from a guy, but it doesn't happen all the time, because the NFL can just cut guys if they don't want them and save money. And it's just not a thing they do.
All right, Q, the real Q. We appreciate the call from real Q, and hopefully we can get this next segment done quick enough, Barry, so we don't get, hey guys, great show. This is Q Dini. So
Hey, football season is here. Duh. I am my picks, I'm up and down. And if you're like me, you put all this research and effort into watching these games and trying to figure out who's going to win. You should put some scratch on it. Get with my bookie and make what you're doing already a little more interesting with football season. Do World Series as well. I'm actually thinking about, for the first time, I mean, I've been playing some football plays. I may have to do some baseball plays just to get into the game a little bit more there as well. And remember, who you're betting on is as important as who you're betting with. That's why you need to do it with my bookie. Don't be messing around with anybody else. Look, take my word for it. My bookie is the online destination to get action on any game out there. They've got so many games, so many things you can do without just betting on the game. They've got player perks. They've got in-game live action. You can bet on the fantasy points that a football player is going to score on each game, the over-under on those. It's crazy the stuff you can do. And the best part is when you win, they pay you. You get your money back. That is super important. And I know you'll hear about all these different places that you can go and bet and gamble on these games. Man, don't mess around. Get with my bookie because I want you to get your money when you win. That's super important. It's real easy to get to. Go to mybookie.ag. You can do it on any web browser, or you can just Google my bookie and find it. But use promo code radio. They will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. I did not make that up. That is a fact. Match your first deposit dollar for dollar. All you have to do is use promo code radio. Check them out. It's mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid at my bookie.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. One segment to go in the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and Jong is on his way back, I'm hearing, hopefully to be returning in time for the Blitz. They'll take you home till 7 o'clock. They are on location from Jack's Grill. I believe that's in the Shepherd area. So if you're in the area and you want to check out the Blitz live and in living color, head on over to Jack's. That's J-A-X. Barry is in Portland. Looking forward to getting Barry back in H-Town tomorrow. But in the meantime, Barry, I wanted to ask you because it's one of my favorite cities. I love Portland. I spent 4 years of my life there. What was your favorite thing about Portland on this trip?
Outside of the edibles?
Now, did you get to witness at least what we all talk about, which is Portland is one of the only cities in the country where you don't just get one coffee shop. On a four-corner intersection, three of the four corners are coffee shops from different companies.
Yeah, there were a lot of coffee shops for sure. I went to this place called Tilt Burgers. I think someone had told me to go there. And that was pretty badass. That was a really good burger. I had Voodoo Donut.
Oh, you did get some.
I went to Voodoo Donuts Saturday night because we went out and had some drinks and had some fun. And I had a Butterfinger donut and a Fruit Loops donut.
And
they were so freaking good. So good.
Now, were they so good because you had the munchies from the edibles, or were they so good, like, legitimately?
No, they were legit good. Like, I was, there's one in Austin, and I told my wife, I was like, I'm going to take you to Austin just so we can get donuts. That's how good
it was. In Portland, they are the end-all, be-all that everybody talks about.
No line either when we went. I was very surprised. But, of course, you know, we had two shows Saturday night. So
that's because you got the day-old batch. Late.
Probably. I don't care. They were, oh, God, it was amazing. You know, just from a touristy standpoint, I got to say the fact that you can get pretty much everywhere in Portland on their public transportation is pretty dope. I didn't have to Uber. I didn't have to do any of that stuff.
Man. Yeah, so when we were talking about that, you were worried about the commute time between the hotel and the show, and they were saying it was like over, about an hour?
Well, that was originally when I was looking at the Airbnbs. Okay. My hotel is on the PSU campus. So I'm kind of just – I'm south end of downtown.
Oh, you're in a good spot because you're close to Broadway, which is like their second version of downtown. And yeah, you're close to everything. That's good.
And then there, the Harvey's, the club, is located on the north side of downtown. So it was maybe a 20-minute bus ride from the time I would walk out of the hotel to the time I would hit the door at Harvey's. So not bad. Okay. Not bad at all.
And
But, I mean,
the homeless people, is that the biggest negative? I mean, what's your take? What's your overall takeaway?
Absolutely, the homeless people is the negative. It's a great city. It is a great city, and I was warned about the homeless people. I think Lance and AJ both told me, man, there's a ton of homeless people, but it's a great city. And it really is. The people are friendly. I was teasing them, though, on stage because I always heard about how diverse and progressive this city is, right? There's like, oh, it's the Austin of the Northwest. There's like 5 black people in Portland. I was like, you can't sit here and claim how diverse and progressive you are when you have 5 black people, 3 Asians, and I think I saw one Hispanic guy and he was leaving town. There's just, it's so white up here. That's the only thing. I was expecting a more diverse cultural city. Nope. There's like, I even looked it up. 6% black people. I want to say less than that, like maybe 9% Asian. There's more Asians than blacks. And then I don't even know what the Hispanic was, but it is predominantly Caucasian. That surprised me more than anything. It wasn't disappointing.
See, I didn't know if you noticed that, because I've said to Lisa in the past, when there's a playoff game in Portland and they span the crowd, I go, here's the biggest challenging game show of all game shows. Find a black person anywhere when they scan the crowd, because it can be tough at times.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm maybe 6 total I've seen all week. Okay. But yeah, no, it's a great city. I would certainly come back here. I would vacation here. There's just a ton of stuff to do. I didn't get to do a lot of it, but it was cool, man. I dug it. I enjoyed my stay here.
Good.
More so than I do in most cities.
Was it clear? Could you see the mountains?
I could. Yeah, the weather was outstanding.
Yeah, Mount Hood and Mount St. Helens, when you can see them on a clear day, are pretty awesome sights.
Pretty dope. Yeah, the weather was great. It held up. I mean, 70s. I think I had 50s yesterday and today, but it's not even that bad. I've enjoyed it. But of course, here's the one thing though. I was asking, they said the club was like, man, well, it'll probably be slow this week. And I said, why? And the guy goes, well, we're having one of them damn Indian summers. And I was like, what? Did I just get involved in racism and not know it? What happened? What are you talking about? And apparently that's when the summer lasts into October and they have good weather. But I was like, couldn't you just say we've had nice weather for a while? But yeah, so apparently they're not used to having sunny and 70 in the middle of October, which is what it was when I got here.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that city. Oh, by the way, before you get off on your merry way to head back here, your good friend is on hold. So, of course, I won't tell you who. I'll just say that under comments,
it's OU Mike.
General conversation. Mike,
that's
welcome to the OU show. Mike.
Hey, guys, the next time Clarence calls in, could we have him sing Can't Get Enough of Your Love, Babe? And maybe, like, Barry could play the drums, and Eric and L.U. Dillon, they could play my woodblock.
Oh, my God.
And he's out.
Well, at least he kept it to the
short,
point.
Short, sweet, and concise.
I like it.
Wow.
Not his best effort. Maybe C&I single, something like that.
No, there was a text message along the way from White Magic as well that I elected to just pass on because it was more just
really,
everybody taking shots at everybody else kind of thing. So
real quick, before we get out of here, though, I hate to, you know me, I never like to keep it sportsy, but I did want to get your thoughts on the Eric Reed, Malcolm Jenkins scrap before we get out of here.
Yeah,
did you happen to catch that?
I did. I caught it after the fact, and I've heard some of the sound bites. And the main takeaway on that one is, the last thing that you want to do, first of all, is have that spill over onto the field and have it really become a negative instead of all the things that they've been trying to do to make things a positive. And the other thing is, it just seems like it's splintering amongst the ranks with two guys that were on the same side of a very, very, a very important topic. And now all of a sudden they're going at each other. I just thought, one, it doesn't belong on the field, and it's a bad look.
I'm agreeing with you that it doesn't necessarily belong on the field, maybe, but you kind of have to respect Reed for approaching him about it.
Yeah.
His exact quote was, he co-opted the movement that was started by Colin to get his organization started. It was cowardly. He sold us out. I agree with you. It probably should not have done, been done on the field prior to the game. But I do respect Reed for at least standing up to it if he felt like he was taking something that was important to him and to many people and just trying to capitalize on it.
And that's what I'm saying. You could meet somewhere at the hotel. You could meet, you know, under the bowels of the stadium.
Call him out on Twitter.
Yeah.
Call him out on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to make it public, but the best place for that would have been a private discussion between two grown men.
Yeah, that's true.
And by the way, White Magic's text was, I'm willing to bet $500 OU Mike is at the Trump rally tonight at Toyota Center. So there you have that. And with that, definitely. We say touche. Safe travels and the all-nighter. We look forward to having a shell of your former self in studio tomorrow, but make sure you get back here safely. For Nick and Barry in Portland, I'm Joel. You guys have yourself a great evening. The Blitz is next. Stay tuned, everybody.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth.